Hello and welcome to the Pit Imps Podcast, episode number 75, brought to you by the Brainstorm Brewery. I am your host, Angelo. With me this week is, like every week, at you over there, say something.
What up?
I knew that's what he was going to say. But we also have a very special guest tonight, and he's a very special guest because he's made my wallet lighter. It is the winner of our logo contest. You know him as 1866 on Twitter. We now know him as Pat. What's up, Pat?
Yo, what's going on?
Nothing, man, nothing at all. You're going to sit in on this whole thing, huh?
Yeah, man, I'm ready.
Okay, sounds good.
Very glad to have you here.
Shit about Standard.
Excellent, man. We're glad to be here. It's a real pleasure, dude. Thank you so much for your time with the contest that you put in, and your art is fucking fantastic. People, get your fucking t-shirts, man. This needs to be out there. Like, I know I ordered two myself, get on it. Let's go. Get his art out there, and, people will inevitably ask, who drew it or whatever, and, spread the love, man. Get those t-shirts. And I got a quick question for you. 1866. What's the meaning of that? Any significance there?
Well, I wanted to go, it's 1866, it's just the date.
Yeah.
When I was starting the art stuff, I really wanted to come up with a tagger type name to use, cause I was big into street art and stencils and all that shit.
Oh, sweet.
So just something short that I could put up on walls and stuff. And I never really had any nicknames or anything. So I wanted something that kind of encompassed everything I was interested in. And I really loved the 1800s and the latter part with the Wild West and, right after the Civil War and all that shit. And,
1866 is,
it's the year after.
That's,
and then there's the Elizabethan era.
Yes.
In England.
Construction era for sure.
Yeah. So all the art and design stuff, fonts and everything coming out of that area or era is what I'm really into. So.
Nice. Cool. I just had to ask that's
interesting. Yeah. It throws everybody off. And
yeah.
The only reason it's not 1866 on Twitter is because I think it was one character too long.
Ah.
So I just spelled out the letters. So it throws everybody off.
Okay. So, Chicago, Ryan, was you there?
I was not there.
I called it.
life happens. So, it's unfortunate. I was rather upset about it. So,
yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, man. But they were slinging some Standard up there, and our top eight bracket broke down as such. Jared Betcher in a beautiful hat versus Jadane. I'm going to mess her name up the whole time.
Jadine
Klomperens? That's the part I'm worried about.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Okay. Klomperens wins 2-0. Adrian Sullivan versus Steve Wise. Sullivan 2-1. Tyler Blum over Steve Rubin 2-1. Yuta Takahashi over Oscar Jones 2-1. Yuta Takahashi loses to Tyler Blum 2-1. Adrian Sullivan gets taken down by Jadine 2-0. And then Tyler Blum wins this whole thing 2-0. So yep. I'm guessing we have a lot of mono blue, right?
Not at all.
Not at all. Well, let's see here. We'll start with Jared Betcher because, that's the one that's up on the website. He's playing mono black.
Well, yeah, with his twist that he's taken on the deck in recent weeks, he's the champion of the red splash and mono black of late. And that's what he rocked. This is if you know what he's been playing, it's the same mono black splash mortars and Rakdos return.
Okay. So Jadine, she was playing mono black.
Yes.
Anything special here, Ryan? I know this is your pet deck.
Well, I like how, first of all, 26 lands. I don't like that. I like 26 if you're splashing a color, but people, this run 25 here. Someone else did that top eight, I believe, and it was fine. She went, and some of our other top eighters here, went really, increased the number of bio blights for this week just cause the fast small creatures, those 2/2s with haste, and
there's
really
a meta.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, you've seen more of a split between Ultimate Price and Devour Flesh. Her list skims entirely on Devour Flesh and doesn't run it at all. Just 4 Bio Blights, 4 Heroes Downfall, 1 Ultimate Price. And a Whip of Erebos, which of all the Black Devotion decks, this is the one. Whip is the best one, in the mono black, just the straight up mono black, whipping back gray merchants. You can't go wrong.
Okay. Steve Rubin, he was on mono black with green. Fucking kill me now, dude.
Yeah. Mono black with the green.
See, Steve Wise. So hey, much to talk different. About.
Yeah. Steve Wise. Yeah, this is cool. I mean,
we white control.
Yeah, with three Fauna Fortunes, which I thought was weird, man. I just think that's too much mana investment.
Well, I don't know. It's only two, really. I mean, it does turn out to be four, but it's two on the turn, and then you can crack it whenever you want.
What's wrong with Divination, man?
Well, Divination costs three, and it's on that turn. And it doesn't have the instant speed ability of, you know, you can play a Flaunt on turn four, leave two mana up for, you know, a Negate or something.
Touche.
And then if you don't need to use your Negate at the end of their turn, you can crack your Flaunt.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, the 61 cards in the deck is a little weird, but, you know, who am I to say?
And that might not even be right. It's Swatsy, so.
Yeah, this is true.
But I'm not going to sit here and count them.
Adrian Sullivan, he was rocking some blue-white.
Yeah, I fucking love Adrian Sullivan's decks, dude.
Always throws that one card and it makes your head turn sideways, and this time it was Darksteel Ingot. Like, why?
I that last week. I thought it was really cool. Yeah, nothing wrong with the Darksteel Ingot. I think because he is he running Planar Cleansing?
What?
Is he running Planar?
No. Before that, the card name.
Darksteel Ingot.
Okay, from somebody right. From the Steel.
You mispronounce everyone's names. I'll mispronounce cards.
Hey, man, that's what I'm doing now. I'm dealing
it's
with
because
it.
Because he's running Planar Cleansing, which destroys all non-land permanents, and he was running Azorius Kyrune, and you can't run Azorius Kyrune with Planar Cleansing. This doesn't actually get blown up.
Okay, that makes sense.
So,
but it's an ingot.
I don't know what is it called.
I'm just letting you know it's pronounced ingot.
Ingot. Okay, there yeah. We go. Yeah, and his blind obedience, very good right now in the meta. I like, you know, I've harped on it before. The Debtor's Pulpit is pretty fucking sweet, especially in the mirror. I mean, it just locks down Aetherling. It locks down some creatures that this deck has problems with. Stormbreath Dragon, Bloodbaron of Viscopa. I mean, you name it. Debtor's Pulpit's a great one of. And Cyclonic Rift is pretty sweet.
So let's see. He has the blind obedience, but he does not have the angel. Huh.
Yeah, Adrian Sullivan, man, great player. It was cool to see him. I don't like that he plays his cards upside down and shit. Like, that's fucking weird. I like the guy's innovation. I don't know, man. A lot of people talk shit about the guy. I think he's a damn good player and deserved this. He's been getting out there a lot recently, and I think he's very underrated. I think this, like, you know, gives him some street cred.
Yeah, just a little shocked by the whole no angel in the sideboard if you're going to be running the blind obedience, because, like, if the two of them are on the board, you usually win.
Yeah, you just extort all day.
Yeah.
Gain life, plus one. But he's, to be fair, he's not running the sideboard that most blue white controls. Like, there's no, like, we saw the other week, like, four Fiend Slayer Paladins in a deck. I saw on a sideboard of blue white, like, there's a lot of Brimaz and Archangel of Thunes, and he goes different. You know, I like one of
those. He goes Trading Post.
Yeah, Jace Memory Adept. You know, I mean, he goes with an alternate win con. Nothing wrong with that.
He has Opportunity in there. Like, that's shocking.
Yeah, that is a bit weird, but it's Adrian Sullivan, man.
He always plays something a little off. Makes your head tilt sideways. I already said it. See, yeah. Oscar Jones. Hey, Mono Blue.
There you go. Patrick, you want to go over this one?
Sure. For creatures, we got, 4 Cloudfin Raptor, 4 Frostburn Weird, 4 Judges Familiar, 4 Master Waves, 4 Night Veil Spectre, 4 Tidebinder Mage, 4 Thassa, 1 Cyclonic Rift, 3 Rapid Hybridization, 1 Hall of Triumph. Seems new.
Nah, it's been popping up the last couple weeks in Mono Black and in Mono Blue.
Yeah, it's in and out of this deck. Mainly because your master, if your master gets popped off, your dudes will still live.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, man. I haven't watched Standard in like a month.
I can't say I blame it.
Plus, yeah. if your tokens, if your master does live and you have a haul out, they're, you know, they're 3/2s instead of 2/1s, which is, you know.
Significantly better? Yes.
Yeah, way, way better. The weird thing about this is the 3 rapid hybridizations. That just seems like, man, but the flexibility of that card to be able to do it on one of your dudes, like you got a Judge's Familiar and you, you know, put in a kill it and get a 3-3 instead. Like, I, there's a lot of flexibility.
It bumps up your Raptors if you need to.
Yeah, it does nothing as far as creatures are concerned. No creature really has protection from it. Like, it hits everything.
No, it doesn't. There's a little Hydra out there that never gets hit.
Well, yeah, it doesn't hit Mistcutter, that's fair, but yeah. Probably maybe taking it out in that match anyways.
Well, they use it to block the Hydra sometimes, right?
Yes, you can
when they need block the green token.
Get a 3-3 green creature, yes.
Yeah, it just does like a chump block.
It's pretty sweet. I don't know about three of them. I like two of them, but yeah, I know a deck the other week was running four of them, which is just...
Yeah, but it's gotta be good if you're running into like green-red monsters, right? Just to knock some of those big guys down.
Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah, it's really good against a big Pelucranos or against a big, dragon. It's really good against those.
Yep. Yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah. So Tyler Plum.
Yeah.
Mono black.
Again.
I mean, more, he's running three Bio Blights and one Devour Flesh. Just, that's the only, I think that's a great meta call that him and JD made this week.
And Yuta, Mono Black.
Yeah, Yuta Takahashi.
Mono Black.
Yeah.
And you gotta be loving this, Ryan.
I mean, I've been on Black White for a long time just cause I fucking love Elspeth. I got super bored with the Mono Black, so.
Yeah. What else are you throwing in from White?
Well, I cut Banishing Light. Now I'm running it again. I put two back in the other night. I like Deicide out of the board, a couple Banishing Light, main, Elspeth, two Obsidot main, a Blood Baron main, and a Blood Baron sideboard. So.
Blood Baron would have been much better in this top eight than Obsidot.
Is he on his way back up?
If Mono Black keeps going crazy like this, I think you've got to increase him.
Yeah, I think Mono Black was just a good call this week because of last, you know, people really had to hedge against aggro, and this is the Black Devotion deck for the most part that does it. You know, it's the easiest to get away with Drown in Sorrow, Bio Blight, all the important cards that... No matter in those aggro matchups. The black-white mid-range could be a bit slow. But I don't know. I've been having success. Like, I've been testing it here against, red-white burn and Naya. And it seemed good. It struggles with, and I also think mono black struggles with the Naya deck with a lot of planeswalkers in it. But other than that, I don't know. It doesn't seem like that bad of a matchup. I actually had someone showed up with black-white mid-range. I think they would have taken this top eight down. So, I mean, like you said, Blood Baron would have just been insane in this top eight.
Yeah, I would think so. Like, it's just so much mono-black. It's kind of freaky, to be honest.
Yeah, and then everyone's got rid of Devour Flesh. I mean, aside from Yuta, who's running four Devour Flesh, no one, everyone skimmed on him. And, I think, especially when there's not a lot of Devour Flesh running around, Blood Baron is really good.
Yeah, plus Devour Flesh is actually pretty good in a mirror match. Just because you can pop off your own Desecration Demon in a bad spot.
Yeah, and people have gone back to Nightvale Spectres, so they're not getting Blood Baron from your hand. I mean, that was the big in the finals. That was kind of what I thought was like the nail in the coffin for Jadeen, was that Tyler was running four Nightvales and only two Lifebane's main, two in the board, and Jadeen was all in on Lifebane Zombie instead of Nightvale Spectre, and I think especially if there's no like Devour Fleshes and Nightvale Spectres, like Tyler's list would get, I mean, yeah, it's Blood Baron is the last card he wants to see. So.
Yeah. Can we be done talking about Mono Black for a little bit? So let's move to Standard in Vegas. Hopefully they were playing other stuff. Josh Granado over Juan Rodriguez 2-0. Keith Sheldon over Philip Martin 2-1. Kevin Rand over Nathan Calvin 2-0. David Daniel over Joe Lissette 2-1. Kevin Rand over David Daniel 2-1. Keith Sheldon over Josh Granado 2-1. And Kevin Rand wins this 2-0. Needs to be pointed out, and I just want to point it out because like, he's a good dude. Raging Gumby on Twitter. Right. I'm sure some of you people know about him. David Moline. He finished ninth in this.
Oh, sick. Yeah.
He got screwed at the end, didn't he? With the breakers.
Yeah, the breakers got him. I mean, sometimes that's what it is. You know, an early loss just fucks you.
And you know what's great about this coverage archive here is that we could see the ninth place list with the Ghost, who seems to think top 16 is now irrelevant.
Only the top eight matters now, I guess, over at Wizards. So, good luck finding top 16 deck lists from beating Chicago.
Ninth
place with a sick list that I definitely think we could talk about. I'd love to go over this list.
Yeah, we'll go over it a little bit. Well, let's give love to the people who deserve it first. We have Mono Red Aggro from Kevin Rand in here.
Yes.
He's running 32 creatures. This is the
third open in a row, by the way, or the third. Mono Red won the Invitational, it won the Open, and now it's won this. So
yeah, their Mono Black apparently was not packing all those,
Bioblights. Sorrows and Bioblights, yep.
Yeah, so we have 4 Ash Zealot, 4 Burning Tree Emissary, 4 Fire Drake Crusader, 4 Firefish Striker, 4 Foundry Street Denizen, 4 Legion Loyalists, 4 Arachnos Cacular, and 4, there's an increase here, Ryan, on your Ruble Belt Makas.
Oh, no. How many rubles?
I don't know. I thought they were rubles.
Just 4. Yeah. Just 4 rubles.
Rubles.
No, I'm loving this Legion Loyalist in here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this deck ran 4 of those. This is a bit different than that one. It's got a lot.
It's not that different.
No, this is, yeah, all the one-ofs, the 16 one-ofs.
Right, and the Ruble Belt Makas, he moved from 2 to 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to pronounce that Ruble Belt from now on because that was awesome.
Yeah. Back before Mono Black got huge, when Theros came out and all that, I was running a Mono Red Blood Rush deck with Legion Loyalists and all those guys where you would just swarm out the board and, you know, nobody would see it coming.
Huh. Well, yeah.
And that's what I build decks out of all my draft commons and shit.
Yeah.
So I try and play competitively with shitty cards just because I'm not going to put the money in, but it's fun, you know, to come up with new stuff.
Let's see. Spells, 2 Searing Blood, 3 Shock, 4 Titan Strength, sideboard, 4 Eidolons, 2 Searing Blood, 4 Skullcrack, 3 Harnessed by Force, and 2 Mizzium Mortars. Very boss slash, just little differences here and there in numbers.
I love that Harnessed by Force card.
Would.
Card's great. I ran Red White Burn this past Friday and had some good success with that card in a matchup. It's pretty sweet.
Now, here's my question. With the Harness by Force and 19 mountains, how often are you going to get more than one creature?
Well, you're not trying to strive it. You're trying to just take the demon, take the Pelucranos, take the Storm Breath, and end the game.
Okay, so the strive is just the incidental insurance in case you're there.
Yeah, you're not striving that often.
You don't ever want to see 6 mana, like ever. If you see 6 mana, like you're probably, if you're striving this card, you probably lost anyways.
Yeah.
Unless it is the death knell.
Unless that's the, yeah, you're absolutely right. But yeah, outside of that, I like Harnessed by Force a lot. People aren't prepared for it. I think Traitor's Instincts and those cards weren't really that played. And I don't know, it's kind of unexpected. It's a great card.
Second place, Keith Sheldon, Blue White Control. Now, this is like a lot of the list that we've already done been over today, but I do notice that he has 2 Archangels of Thune to go with his Blind Obedience because, you know, yeah, that can just end games fast.
Yeah. No Brimaz or Fiend Slayers, but 2 Archangels, that'll get you there.
It sure will. I mean, he does have an Aetherlings main board as well, so he can play that game.
Yeah. Third place, Josh Grando. This junk mid-range list, I like a lot, man.
So do I, actually.
This was on camera. It was pretty cool. Can I go over this?
Sure. Why not?
Let's see. So creatures. He's got 2 Archangel of Thune. Yeah, that's unique. A Blood Baron of Viscopa. I see a theme here. 2 Scavenging Ooze. Oh, my God, the synergy. 4 Sylvan Caryatids. 3 Courser of Kruphix. And 2 Obsidot Ghost Councils. So outside of Sylvan Caryatid, every creature nets him life in one way or another.
Yeah, there's a lot of casting costs, though, on 5 of his 14 creatures.
Oh, I mean, it gets even even more casting costs here with 2 Ajani Mentor Heroes and 2 Elspeths.
Yeah, a lot of casting costs there. A lot of casting costs.
So
you almost have to stick a Sylvan Caryatid like turn 2.
Yeah, there's a lot of 5s in here.
Very slow deck. I mean, his spells, though, he can play the long game with 2 Banishing Light, 2 Underworld Connections. He's got 3 Abrupt Decay,
2
Flesh, 4 Heedless Downfall, and 3 Thoughtseize. So he's running, like, essentially the Black Devotion deck's, like, removal suite. And I mean, that's with Abrupt Decay, which is damn good. So, I think this deck's pretty well positioned. If he hit his mana, I mean, it's on. His sideboard, I think, also helps him shore up against some of those, like, quick decks that I think were the bane of his existence. Two Lifebane Zombie, two Sin Collector, and Underworld Connections, two Nyxfleece Ram, which is another creature that gains you life, very sweet here. So two Nyxfleece Ram, two Bioblight, two Deicide, two Golgari Charm, and two Whip of Erebos. I love this list, man.
Yep.
Looks like a lot of fun.
No, it actually does. I mean, like, this is more up my route as far as things that I do like to play. You know, I do like junk, and I like the early control game with the, you know, the end finishers that are just, cause I mean, every one of his five drops and six drops is like must answer now.
He answered. Ajani was ridiculous on camera form in this lift too. I mean, just flat out ridiculous. And yeah, you're right. The early game, I mean, he stalls you, the Abrupt Decays, Devour Flood. I mean, he's got what it takes. And if he starts hitting, you know, lands off of Courser, it's pretty much, uphill for him from there. Or, I mean, downhill as far as the opponent's concerned. This was a lot of fun to watch when it was on camera, and this seems like something to be a lot of fun to play.
Hey, not to, spoil things, but you can go over the next list so I don't fucking gouge my eyeballs out.
Do we need to? Fourth place, Mono Black Devotion, next.
Fifth place.
Oh, you didn't pick out the one card that was different?
Well, he is running Pine Needle.
I knew he was going to say it.
You had to say something. No. This is
pretty standard. You always pick out like the single, you know, difference. Yeah,
pretty standard. Well, you know, the spikes out there, they love that. They appreciate it. So, you know.
The spikes do. I do.
That's for my detail-oriented people out there, that were the ones who matter.
Okay, fifth place, we have Mono Black Devotion with the splashing of green.
Yep.
And, yeah, there's nothing really to talk about.
Because Abrupt Decay is really, really good.
Sixth place, Joe Lissette. He was on blue-white. Then rounding out our top eight, we had two Jund Monsters lists. I don't think there's anything really particularly cool with these. I mean, there's Coursers, there's Pelucranoses, there's Stormbreath Dragons, and there's Domrys and Xenagoses. More Domrys than Xenagoses. I guess that's interesting.
Yeah, the people have been playing around with that. People have also been with the numbers on Courser of Krufix. No, that's true. That's relevant. Like, we've seen four. We've seen three here in Philip Martin's deck, seventh place, and two in Brad Nelson's the other week. Like, I don't know. I think that's a card people are still working the numbers on. And four, it may be too much. I don't know.
Let's see. Naya Tokens from Raging Gumby. I need to go over this. It has four Elvish Mystic, four of one of my favorite draft cards, Scion of V2 Gauze.
Four of one of my favorite standard cards, Scion of V2 Gauze.
Okay, it's really good in draft, though. Uh-oh. Okay, so if this show gets cut short, I'm just going to put this out now. I have storms in my area, and I can hear thunder, so that's awesome. Four Sylvan Caryatid, four Voice of Resurgence, four Courser of Krufix, and three Purphoros, God of the Forge.
Yes.
I'm going to what? Oh, this makes sense. Two Ajani, Mentor Heroes, four Dharmy Raid, three Elspeth, and two Xenagos the Reveler. Like, he is working the Purphoros damage thing. Like, Purphoros, Elspeth, six?
Well, my one thing I would switch is the numbers on Domri Raid and Xenagos here.
You know what, though? He doesn't have much removal. So the Domri removal side is actually very relevant.
Yeah, but outside of Scion, he's got, like, no fatties.
He has a Johnny Mentor of Heroes. He has fatties everywhere he looks.
Well, yeah. If he's got an active Ajani, that's still...
He doesn't even need to be active. He doesn't even need to be active for a turn. Plus, you have the voice token. So yeah, that makes sense, actually. I can see that.
Might ask him on Twitter if he would switch that up. That'd be interesting to know.
Yeah, go ask Gumby that.
I think I follow him.
If not, I do. Sideboard, three Mistcutter Hydra, a Chain to the Rocks, four Nyxfleece Ram for them damn, slide decks, two Deicide, a Tristoni, and then four Anger of the Gods. He was really worried about those fucking red decks.
Yeah, Mono Black Aggro's been top aiding. Mono Red, obviously. There's been a lot of, I mean, Brave Naya's been in deck, and Anger of the Gods. Also, Mono Blue Devotion. It might not hurt the Master Ways, but it kills Night Vale Spectre, it kills, you know, Tidebinder, it kills everything in that deck of relevance outside of, like, Frostburn Weird. Maybe yep. Master Ways, but.
Hey, well, there is one card that there's one deck that I absolutely 100% have to go over, or this is just gonna kill me. 12th place, Bobby Birmingham, mono white aggro.
First of all, his name is badass.
Bobby Birmingham.
Sounds kind of racist.
I'm Bobby Birmingham.
I mean, Birmingham is not a place you want to be.
Well, not if you're African American, no.
Yeah. Let's see, 4 Azorius Arrester, 2 Banishing Priest, 4 Boros Elite, 4 Daring Skyjack, 4 Dryad Militant, 2 Imposing Sovereigns, 4 Judges Familiar, a Keening Apparition, 2 Precinct Captains, 4 Soldier of the Pantheons, 20 lands, and 4 of them are new to Vault. The other 16 are all planes. He's got 9 spells. One of them is a Path to Bravery. Wow.
It's been popping up. It's been in this list. It's kind of interesting. But
yeah, I don't think I ever went up against that in a draft. 4 Brave the Elements, 1 Hall of the Triumph, Spear of Heliod, and 2 Launch the Fleet. Now that I like. I really do like the Launch the Fleet. His sideboard, interesting as well. 2 more Banishing Breeze, 3 Gift of Orzhova, a Celestial Flare, a Deicide, 2 Reprisal, 3 Rootborn Defenses, and 3 Glare of Heresy. So, I mean, we got a mono white into the top 16.
That's pretty sweet.
That's about as different as we've had in a long time. I hate to say it.
I know Craig Wesco was running.
Well, of course he was.
Something similar to this, at the GP in Chicago. He was on, he had like 4 precinct captains and 4, 4 Brimaz, and he has no Brimaz here in this, so.
Yeah, not even in the sideboard, which is kind of a shock. To be real honest, because when you, do go up against the control decks, the Brimaz is actually really good.
Yeah, he doesn't even have Fiend Slayer Paladin in this list.
Nope.
Which is insane.
Apparently he didn't need him. Or maybe he did. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at the deck that won. Fiend Slayer Paladin shuts it down.
It does, for the most part.
Yeah, so kind of shocked about that, but yeah.
So Legacy.
Yeah, real formats.
Yeah, but.
Hey, Patrick, you could step in for me here then. Thank you.
I'm going to install all your standard players.
Let's see. Brian Kamage versus Dennis Ulanov. And Kamage wins 2-1. Ian Anderson versus Sonny A-Name. Ian Anderson wins 2-1. William Lowe versus Andrew Murch. And Lowe wins 2-0. And Brandon Smith versus Scott Alter. Smith wins 2-0. William Lowe 2-1 over Smith. Kamage over Ian Anderson 2-0. And Kamage wins it all 2-0.
By the way, that is Sonny Aparicio. And as Italian, you should know that.
Okay.
Oh, he's calling you out.
Oh, damn it. I need to say that because he's actually running a cool deck.
Yeah, Belcher.
Yeah. Ugh. So first place we had Burn.
The real test is to see if he had a sideboard or not.
That is interesting. I didn't watch any coverage of this Legacy. I'm going to have to go back and watch it now. I can't believe Burn.
Yeah, Burn's been doing fairly well. I mean, his list is different.
I started recording with you. Has Burn won a Legacy Open?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
I actually got to watch a little bit of this tournament. There was a Burn mirror match. I'm not sure if it was the same guy or not, but yeah, they're going over the Burn mirror.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair deck. I mean, his is a little different. I do like the Vexing Shushers in the sideboard. For anybody who's never played with a Vexing Shusher, it's 2 red-green hybrids, and he can't be countered. But for a red-green hybrid, you target spell can't be countered by spells or abilities as well. So he can really shut down the counterspell decks.
Yeah, no, Burn is not even top 8ed.
Yes, it has. We talked about it within the last month. Guaranteed. I promise.
Well, how much of an impact do you think Eidolon's having on this?
Eidolon is like the best card in this set for Legacy, possible. The card's amazing in this format.
I mean, it's gotta be why there's a resurgence of Burn.
I would think 70% of the spells in Legacy get hit by this card.
Yeah, I mean, when I was running Burn, I was playing Pyrostatic Pillars.
Right, which is just Eidolon without a 2-2 on it.
Yeah, so to put a body on it, I mean, it's got to make a huge difference.
It does. I mean, because you can even kill it yourself if you have to. Hmm. Let's face facts, you didn't have a way to get rid of your pillars. Let's see, 2 Ensnaring Bridge in the sideboard as well, which... Yeah, you're not going to have many cards in your hand in a lot of games, so that makes a fair amount of sense.
Yeah, it's for your sneak and show opponents, too.
Oh, absolutely. Let's see. Relic, Mindbreak Traps, Searing Bloods, Master Smithereens. Okay. Aside from that.
Quick news flash. I went all the way back to May 4th, Cincinnati. Byrne is not top aided a single legacy.
I will find it before this night's up and I will make you look bad. Did you check the, invitational?
I did check the invitational.
Did you check the legacy open on the day of the invitational?
Columbus Open. Death and Taxes won.
Okay.
Byrne is not in the top eight.
All right. Well, I know we just talked about Byrne recently, so I.
Yeah, it got a ninth place finish somewhere. It was just out of the top eight.
I'm pretty sure it made top eight recently. So.
I've never seen it win though, and that's amazing to me. Like I'm really like curious about that. I think Eidolon, might be the card that.
Oh no, it is. The card, it's just insane. Countertop in second place.
Yeah, it's kind of the boogeyman of the format these days, right?
Yeah, isn't it?
It's either this or, any one of the many Delver decks.
Yeah, well, Delver's always been around. These are just starting to become a lot more prevalent.
Right. He does have the...
So this deck has really been on the rise.
It has been. It's been moving up pretty good. Elves and Elves, third and fourth.
Another deck that's been making a lot of top eights.
Are we splashing any different colors in here? Or are they just straight green?
They're just straight green. Oh. I mean, they might be splashing a black just so they can use the Deathrite Shaman. Let me double check that. Bayou is in here so they can use both abilities on the Deathrite Shaman. And there is Thoughtseize, Progenitus, Abrupt Decay in the sideboard, but main board it's...
Well, what list are we on, talking about?
Third place.
Okay, cause fourth place has some spicy cards in it, some spicy blue cards.
Blue?
Mind Break Trap in the board, two Swan Songs, and the new, Edric Spymaster Dress from, Conspiracy.
Well, the Mind Break Trap, he's never going to, use blue man in a cast.
Well,
to say that.
Except for Progenitus, that is, he's splashing for every color, but.
Right, he's not using that. Edric, that's interesting, and so is the Swan Song.
And I like Edric. I think it's already banned in Commander.
It makes sense.
Yeah, the Swan Song seems odd. I wonder what he's specifically trying to go after. Maybe the countertop?
That card, but I don't know, man.
I mean, if he's trying to counter the enchantments, like if he's going after countertop or something.
Mm, yeah, one blue to stop all those angels is good too.
Yeah.
I'd rather face a 2/2 than an army of 4/4s.
Very true.
But yeah, it's your elves deck aside from that. Like, you know, the main board is pretty standard and then the sideboard plans are different. Blue, white, red Delver from Merch is in fifth place. This is a very stock list. Graf Digger's Cage in the sideboard. Interesting, I guess. Very stock list.
Yeah.
Haha, Belcher.
Yeah, this is sweet.
Holy Christ, he's running 16 creatures.
Yeah, that's pretty high for
this. This is a stacked Belcher deck.
Oh, he's running Wraith.
Ooh, he is running Wraith.
Yeah.
That's just
the cycle. Well, they normally run Wraith, don't they?
That's just the cycle.
Yeah.
I mean, but it does get things in the graveyard. Hmm. So you want to explain how Char Belcher works? Say you follow this. Give it a shot.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're basically just trying to cycle through their deck and, exile, like, spirit guides from their hands to get free mana and basically just, ramp through their, rituals and metamorphose and just keep drawing and going through their deck and getting free mana. And, let's see, they play the land grant so that they can reveal their hand and then search for their one dual land, which they're running Stomping Ground instead of Taiga.
I really don't think it makes a difference in this deck.
it's the super budget version.
It really does not make a difference in this deck.
Yep. So then, once they get all their mana, they slam down their Char Belcher and fire it off, and won't hit a land, so it deals double the damage for, each card they reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's usually something because you've already had the land grant. It's usually something around like 30, and then it deals double damage, so it's like 60 in your face.
Do you guys ever listen to Serious Vintage podcast?
No.
A while back, one of the Moe's brothers, cousins, their last name were both Moe's. I think it was Jeff Moe's, top eighted in SVG with Belcher with a 15 island sideboard.
I remember that. And I just laugh because I was, it's just like he's playing Belcher. He ain't fucking around. It's just Belcher. So if you have the answer to it, you beat him.
Yeah. It was just funny, you know, fake sideboarding throughout the rounds.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they get to top eight and they see each other's deck list, so he can't, like, pull one over on anybody. Which but he's is, just saying how he, you know, how it shows that he just doesn't respect you.
You know what, though? I mean, this is a pretty stock sideboard in this one with the four Xanthid Swarm, four Ley Lines, four Power Blasts, and another Empty the Warrens, one Guy's Blessing, and a Shattering Spree. God, I love Belcher. I really love this deck. It's just, it's so unfair. We had Elves in 7th, too.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of Elves lately.
Yeah.
Been on the rise.
Bug Delver in 8th, and Standstill in 11th.
Oh, we got a Tezzeret, UB Tezzeret.
We had a Standstill in 11th. Okay, so Standstill.
What is Standstill here?
Okay, I'm explaining. Two Planeswalkers. He's running Elspeth Knight Errant and one Jace the Mind Sculptor. Yeah, those are two good ones. Spells. Helm of Obedience, Pithing Needle, four Energy Field. Energy Field is basically a blue fog. Two Humility, four Rest in Peace, Home of Obedience, Rest in Peace, getting it. Four Standstill, when a player plays a spell, sacrifice Standstill. If you do, each of that player's opponents draws three cards. So, you know, it's for two mana, you draw three cards. Four Brainstorm, 4 days, three Light and two.
I wish they made cards like this deck, man. You going over this, like, makes me want to play this list.
Dude, Standstill is amazing. I mean, it's just one of those cards.
I mean, Energy Field, like, I just saw, you said Blue Fog. I thought it was like a blue instant prevent all. No, this is a fucking enchantment, man.
Yeah, it's a forever fog.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. I've run into this online. I hate it.
four Brainstorm, 4 days, three Enlightened Tutor, four Force of Will, three Stifle because, you know, one blue for a Stone Rain is good.
Man, I would love to see Stifle in Modern. Because that would just fuck so many decks.
I mean, Trickbind's there, but it's just a little slow, I think.
Yeah.
But you can't counter a Trickbind, so, I don't know.
Three I'm surprised more people don't play it.
I actually am too. I would probably run it if I was running me some control. Sideboard, a Ratchet Bomb, a Relic, a Tormod's Crypt. Tormod's Crypt. There's really not a better answer. Okay. Two Energy Flux. And what that does is, at the beginning of your upkeep, you can sacrifice an all artifacts gain at the beginning of the upkeep, sacrifice this artifact unless you pay two. It gives it an upkeep cost. Two Leyline of Sanctity, two Oblivion Ring, two Pyroblast, two Red Elemental Blast, and two Supreme Verdict because when you don't want things to be countered, that works.
Yeah, and so the Rest in Peace basically keeps the energy field around forever. I mean, if you counter it, you don't have to worry. If they, like, go to cast a removal spell on it, you don't have to worry about countering that removal spell and having to sack your energy field. Like, that's pretty fucking sweet, man. I like the synergies in this deck. The Ratchet Bomb I didn't think made sense, but I guess it does when your opponent can't hurt you or anything. You could just take all the time you need to blow up whatever you want.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this deck's pretty cool.
No, Sandstone decks are cool. I like them. So we do have a blue-black Tezzeret deck in third. This is an insane top 16.
See, yeah, it is. A Cloud Post, even.
Yeah,
we even have a post in here. Okay, so we have four Baleful Strix, three Jace the Mind Sculptor, two Tezzeret Seeker, and four Tezzeret Agent.
I didn't know the Seeker was played.
Yeah, I think that's a new addition.
It used to be before Agent, and then they kind of cut them all, and now somebody brought Seeker back. That's cool. Okay, spells. Guess what? They're going to all be artifacts for the most part. Four Chalice of the Boy, four Dimir Signet, one Engineered Explosives, two Ensnaring Bridge, a Relic of Progenitus, a Staff of Nin. That's not fair. A Sword of the Meek, two Talisman of Dominance, two Thopter Foundry, Sword of the Meek, Thopter Foundry, great combo. Four Force of Will, and three Transmute Artifact. Okay, Sideboard, Ensnaring Bridge, Grafdigger's Cage, Helm of Obedience, Pithing Noodle, Trinisphere, Lodestone Golem, three Flusterstorm, two Vidalion Click, two Damnation, and two Toxic Deluge.
Surprised he's down on the Lodestone Golem. I thought they played more.
Yeah, he's only playing board. One.
Well, yeah. I mean, that shuts down a lot of legacy decks, yeah, if you can get them.
But, I mean, he does have Trinisphere in there, so.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. This is just a sick deck. I love it.
Yeah, that was cool. So, and we have a post deck in 15th.
That's pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah, this is the post deck. Ooh, he's running Oracle. Yeah. Oracle of Moldiah. Four Prime Titans, an Emrakul, a Kozilek, and an Ulamog. And, yes, he actually hard casts those. Four Expedition Map and Oblivion Stone, three Pithing Needle, four Sensi's Divining Top, four Crop Rotation, three Moments Peace, four Green Sun's Zenith, two Into the North. He's running snow-covered forests. That is awesome! He's playing Into the North. I used to run that in Standard years ago. One All is Dust. Sideboard, Oblivion Stone, Thorn of Amethyst, four Leyline of Sanctity, one Rest in Peace, two Sacred Grounds, a Gaddic Teague, a Glacial Chasm, a Savannah, and a Tabernacle. Man, I wish he would have jammed in just a couple more snow covers. Well, he's got two Into the North for what?
Yeah.
Three snow covered forests? I mean, that can make out really a dead card late in the game.
I mean, what's the preference for that? Is it just style points? Like, why are you looking for a snow land?
Just to make Into the North more, useful.
I don't have this deck list up. What the fuck is snow covered land? What does that even mean?
Okay. At one time, there was a plane called Dominera. And Dominera hit an ice age. And during this ice age, all the lands were covered in snow. Hence the set called Ice Age. So during this period of time, all the basic lands became snow covered lands. Even though they were just basic lands. So forest becomes basic snowland forest. And they re-released these during Cold Snap. That is where Into the North comes from.
Yeah. And there's certain cards that care about, you know, being snow covered or not.
Yeah, there actually is.
Weird. All right, cool.
You sound underwhelmed.
I know we're not on that deck anymore, but the Tezzeret deck, I thought artifact lands were banned and he was running a Seat of the Synod.
Legacy. No, that's in Modern. Yeah, they're not banned in Legacy.
Legacy gets to play with more things, man.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so, guys, it's that time again.
What time is that?
More cards are coming out.
Card Christmas?
I guess it's Card Christmas. I mean, it's core set, so it's kind of hard to call that Card Christmas.
Excited about this core set. I haven't been excited about a core set since I started playing.
It seems pretty powerful, like more so than usual.
Yeah, there's a lot of good cards.
I'm liking this one. I gotta ask, cause there seems like there's some hints. You guys think we're gonna like return to like maybe Phyrexia or some kind of like, what's the artifact playing? Like, you think artifacts are gonna be, there seems like a lot of cards that have to do with like artifacts, like.
Yeah, it's gotta be some kind of
the artifact plane is Phyrexia. Cause it was mirrored in and now that's new Phyrexia, so.
Okay, it just seems like there's a lot to do with, like, even in Encrust is back, which enchants artifact or creature, which seems really random.
Yeah, Shrapnel Blast is back too, which again.
Yeah, which I mentioned that one a second ago. It's weird. It's like, what's that?
I didn't hear you right. Whatever.
Yeah.
Especially the Darksteel Citadel too.
Yeah.
That's cool. A big sign.
Yeah, so I think, or maybe Khans of Tarkir is gonna be, you know, pretty artifact heavy, who knows.
I don't know, but Pat, I don't know if you know the way we usually work our early spoilers, but basically it's we're all going to pick like three spoilers to go over. That, cause, you know, other shows go over all of them, so we'll just have more fun. And since you are the guest, you get the first go at this. Which card do you want to talk about?
I'm going with the Chasm Skulker.
The Humana what?
Chasm Skulker.
That's a good card. That's a good card.
Okay, so I mean, what does Chasm Skulker do?
Okay, it is a blue and two colorless, 1/1 creature squid horror.
Yep.
Whenever you draw a card, put a +1/+1 counter on it. When it dies, put X 1/1 blue squid creature tokens with Island Walk onto the battlefield, where X is the number of +1/+1 counters on Chasm Skulker.
Yeah, I saw this card the other day on Twitter and somebody said it was the sleeper of the set and I'm like, no, this card is just good.
Jack.
If it can live for, you know, two or three turns, I mean, it's pretty good, but man, if you play this and don't draw a card and like they just pop it off and you just played three mana for a 1/1 and did nothing.
No, well, it got rid of a removal spell as well, dude.
Oh, it got rid of a removal spell, fair, yeah.
For a 1/1, like fine.
I mean, what do you think about it in Legacy and like a Delver deck?
I don't know. I was trying to figure that out myself. Like this thing is really powerful with cards like Brainstorm. Like it's really powerful with Brainstorm. But he's a 3-drop and there's so many good 3-drops already in Legacy that...
I mean, maybe like the blue-red shell?
Yeah, but they're not going to move.
Yeah, but would you rather run this over True Name?
Yeah, they're not moving True Name anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of where the issue is. It's like, this isn't better than True Name, I don't think, but holy fuck. I mean, it's good.
Still, if it just sits there, I mean, it's getting ticked up each turn. That's even a good, if you're doing nothing for standard, at least.
You know what? In standard, that's a good reason to have fonts.
Yeah.
Or if you have this on the board, you know, and...
Or even if you're just a control deck, you know, the game's going long, this thing's going to get bigger each turn.
Yeah, I could even see a split with all the hate we're seeing in Legacy for True Name, that I could see a split between this and True Name.
Maybe, I mean, it can really get out of hand in Legacy with cards like Jace and Brainstorm and Ponder. And
I mean, it survives Golgari Charm if it, you know, if you get a counter on it.
Ooh, yeah, I like the card. Ryan, go ahead, pick one.
Well, man, there's a few I want to talk about, but...
Well, you get three picks, so...
I'll put one right next to it. It's a rare, just because I've been looking into more, like, weenie strategies. That just sounded really weird.
No, it sounded right.
Megan's eyebrows just raised from across the room. Weenie strategies. I like Return to the Ranks, man. It's a sorcery, which, maybe instant would have been overpowered. I would have loved to see this at instant speed, but it's X, white, has Convoke. If you don't know Convoke, check your mechanics. Return X target creature cards with converted mana cost 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, very strong. Yeah.
I like it.
Hmm.
I also, I just saw Siege Worm. Seriously, they gotta keep that original art. That is like a penis with a helmet on, breaking down a wall.
Okay, stop breaking the rules, Ryan.
sorry, it is that art. Just caught my eye. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, that's been around for a while.
I've seen that card, man.
I'm gonna go, and you know, my limited mind, I always pick out these weird ones. I like Meteorite. It's 5 mana. When Meteorite enters the battlefield, it deals 3 damage to target creature or player. But once it's on the battlefield, you can tap it to add a mana of any color to your mana pool. So it's late game fixing with a lightning bolt attached to it.
That's value.
It really is. I mean, I can see this being, you get a couple of these, like, there's a reason to splash some crazy card later, you know, like a fireball or something. Like, I'll just, you know, do it off my Meteorite because I don't plan on casting it anyway until turn 10 or whatever. I like it.
What do you think about it in limited?
Well, that's what I mean, in limited.
I don't even like it in limited. It's 5 mana is a area on the curve where, I mean, 5 through 7 in limited, you want to be casting your Game Enders, your big threats.
No, not necessarily.
Nah, I don't buy it, dude.
It's a removal spell, which recently we see removal spells at 6.
It might
what's the one that does 3 damage to the creature and then the player? I mean, that's 5 mana. Like Falling Star or some shit like that.
Yeah, actually that ain't bad.
Yeah,
people. And this one taps for mana. I mean, it's fixing. Is it the greatest fixing? No. Is it the greatest burn spell? No. But when you put them both together at that cost, it's not so bad. Like, this is something I can totally see running a one of. I mean, at 3, it's broke.
Yeah, I mean.
Pat, pick another one.
All right, we're gonna go with Indulgent Tormentor. It is black and 3 colorless. Creature demon flying. At the beginning of your upkeep, draw a card unless target opponent sacrifices a creature or pays 3 life. And it is a 5/3. It seems pretty strong.
Yeah, actually it does.
I mean, it's all upside. There's no downside for you.
Yeah.
I mean, 5/3 flying for 5. You get a free card unless your opponent loses something. And there's no downside there.
No, there really isn't. Like, Ryan, you think that makes it in a mono black?
I don't know, man.
It draws cards, and I do believe mono black is losing its underworld connections.
And demon.
Although it has plenty of demon. Oops, sorry about that, folks. It has plenty of demons to replace it.
Yeah. And the power on it is not irrelevant.
No, but it dies to a meteorite, just saying.
You know, dies to Doomblade argument. Yeah.
I'm just saying because you said my meteorite was shit.
It dies to a lot of things.
Just saying.
Yeah, it's a damn good card. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's pretty solid. Rye, what do you
want? It's better than Master of Feast. I'll go out on a limb there.
Oh my god, after all the talk you put on Master of the Feast. You made that card out to be the second coming of Christ.
Yeah, I like that card. I think it's good.
I do too, man.
Ryan, pick a card.
Okay, because I talked so much shit about her, way back in episode 24. we dubbed her Chandra the Unplayable. I gotta go Chandra Pyromaster, man. I'm glad she's back, dude. I thought she deserved a reprint. She's just now kinda seeing the love and standard. So, this is a reprint I'm gladly welcome. I'm happy to see this. I think it's great, that they brought her back, this iteration of her. And especially, I mean, I'm really getting to like this card a bunch too. I run two in my red white deck and I'm happy every time I see it, in red white burn. It's really good, man.
Yep.
We didn't think so at first, but
I learned my lesson pretty quick because I was running it like a couple weeks after it was released, and I'm like, oh goddamn, this actually is good.
And it wasn't even that good then.
No,
it's really good now. Like, the cards see in modern play,
right?
I like it a ton. There's a huge amount of creatures with one toughness. It takes out and the zero ability. When you're like out of gas, I'm telling you, it'll save you. It unfortunately, one game I had this past Friday, I the guy got to one life and was able to blind obedience his way out of burn range from then on, because earlier in the game I had made, instead of plus one-ing her, I exiled a card and I don't know, I think I got a mountain or something off of it. It wasn't a burn spell, so. But yeah, I mean, she's really good. And, in the right deck, the negative seven is what you want in a ultimate. It's gonna win you the game.
Yes, it is. I'm going to go with, one of my all-time favorite cards.
Okay.
And I only say this because the last time it was released in M12, I got like 70 of them.
What's this?
Turn to Frog.
Oh, yeah. Very good card, man.
Dude, the card is amazing. Now, this is, look, I ain't gonna lie. This is a limited card. But, man, is it a house unlimited.
Wait, is it a limited card with all the powerhouse creatures running around, with all these out-of-line abilities and all these protection?
You know what?
We're not seeing creatures that are pro-blue, man. Blue
removes- You gotta target the creature, so, I mean, pro-blue doesn't, stop this. It stops this, man.
That's what I said, there's no creatures that are pro-blue.
Hydra.
Well, yeah, the Hydra, but that's a sideboard card too. This card here, man.
I don't know. It's been 3 years, so it could be standard playable.
I think so. Blue removal between this, rapid hybridization lately. I don't know. I think maybe that might be the way blue's trying to go, man. Weird removal spells like turn and burn. What was the blue part on that? He comes like a
0/1. 0/1.
Weird. Like that makes things very easy to kill when blue, if blue's playing like one or two creatures on the board, like, you know, you just turn their big attacker into a frog and kill it with your blocker. Like it's just, I don't know, man. I think it's standard playable. I don't know if there's a deck for it right now or if, mono blue wants it, but I think it's good. I'm with you on that pick, man.
Dude, when I used to draft as many of them as possible, and like literally after days, like after a draft, I would just walk around and take them off of people because I love the card. And like that alone makes me want to draft blue.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, man. I can really see me, doing that.
Yeah, blue's
especially with some of the other blue cards I'm seeing, which, you know, I won't bother bringing up all of them, but blue looks powerful. I'm just going to say.
Even at blue uncommons like Illusory Angel, a 3-mana 4/4 flyer in blue.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll, Pat, pick a card, man, so we can move on before I go on too much of a rant here.
All right. We're going to dip into the uncommon range here. We're going to go with Ulcerate.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good one, bro.
Single black, instant, target creature gets -3/-3 until end of turn. You lose 3 life. What do you think about this over Disfigure?
I like it.
It seems strong, man. 1 mana kill spell for the early game. I don't know about 4, but...
Is Disfigure a card in this set?
It's Legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Ulcerate a lot. I could see blue-black control being a thing, like, for real going forward. Maybe, like, they're getting, like, Caustic Tar as, like, a win condition for that deck. Like, I don't know, there's some sweet, sweet shit between those two colors, I think, for control going forward. Ulcerate is, yeah, So that's upside all day.
Yeah,
very powerful. Ryan, your last one here.
Oh man, fucking I like these souls.
Damn it.
No, I'm going to have to go with this one because I don't, the Poppy will yell and scream if no one talks about it because it seems to be pretty popular on the page as far as people talking about it. It seems weird to me. Aggressive mining. So 3 and a red, it's an enchantment. And it says you can't play lands. Okay, that's weird. Second part of text, sacrifice a land, draw 2 cards, activate this ability only once each turn. I mean, you get to 4 mana, you play this, you don't need any more mana, so you don't need to play lands at this point, and this can just draw you into your cheap burn spells.
This is only for you, it's not both players.
Just says you can't play land, so it is just for you.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that.
That is a downside to it, but, I mean, I don't know, in the right deck, it is, again, 4 mana, doesn't really impact the game right away, which is what an aggressive red deck wants to do.
Oh no, it can.
Well,
you can sacrifice one of your tap lands.
4 mana, the turn you play it, do you have any more mana left?
But you don't have to have an untapped land to sacrifice.
Yeah, you can just start sacking and drawing right away. That's fair, yeah, but it doesn't have like an immediate, like outside of you drawing, like you can draw a couple cards right away, you can't necessarily cast them. It's not like a burn spell, which affects the game.
Yeah, you know what? I'm sure there's a way to break this. I just haven't thought of it yet.
It's weird. People check the Facebook page. There's some interesting conversation about it. I know Houston from Tab and Stack was touting this card as well. So.
Yeah, it has everything about it that makes me want to go, holy shit, I can break this card. I just have to actually sit down and think about it for a while. And unfortunately, while we're doing this cast, it's hard to think about other things. And still, you know, ramble properly.
Yeah.
So my last card that I'm going to go with is kind of a remake, but not. A planeswalker who lost his spark, and that would be Obnixilus, the Unshackled.
Wait, this was a planeswalker one?
At one time, yeah. But he lost his spark on Zendikar, so he never got a planeswalker card. He's one of the original planeswalkers.
Sucks to be him.
Yes. Well, he's a 4/4 trample flying, for 6. Whenever an opponent searches his or her library, target player sacrifices a creature and loses 10 life.
Hang on, Megan, open up your ears. Angelo, can you say that again?
Whenever an opponent searches his or her library, that player sacrifices a creature and loses 10 life. Hi, Pod.
That is nasty. That's nasty.
Okay, and whenever another creature dies, put a +1/+1 counter on Obnixilus Unshackled.
Dirty.
It gives me pimple bumps. This is awesome.
And you think this could be a reanimate target?
Oh, yes, I very much do think this could be a reanimate target. Especially in Modern against Pod. Just saying.
It is, man, 6 mana is a lot of mana, but that's a whole lot of...
Ah, dude, you're playing that for 3. You're reanimating this thing, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in Standard, you might cast it for 6, but like any of the Eternal formats or non-rotating, you're reanimating this thing.
Yep.
I mean, it could even see play in Legacy because, you know, Brainstorm actually draws you fetches. Cards. But, yeah, fetches, just, oh my god, this could just fuck somebody so hard. But I do have a point of conversation that we need to go over about these M15, so I'm glad none of you brought the card up because that means we get one more thing that we get to go over. Liliana Vess has been confirmed.
Ooh.
I thought Garrick turned black. That was kind of the talk, that Garrick is now an all-black planeswalker, so why is Lily here?
Well, did you see the
is
the Hydra type thing they made?
I'm sorry, Patrick. Go ahead.
Oh, I saw something the other day. It was a green black Garrick, but it was like a face the Hydra kind of challenge.
Okay.
Where he's like a single planeswalker card with 20 loyalty.
I did see that.
Yeah, but what I want to know is like, are they actually going to make a real card for him? Because if that's all they do with all this promotion, that's lame as hell.
I kind of think so too.
They just have some silly promo event with Garrick. That would fucking suck. I mean, when you look at the flavor text on cards like in Garruk's Wake, I mean, it's like he's beyond beyond obsession, wild despair. Like, you know, he's like, it's like he's gone to a place that like you can't come back from. Like, he's on the dark side for real.
Right.
and then they print Liliana, I mean, maybe could they, can't go two black planeswalkers in the same set, so.
It's gotta be a hybrid. I mean, cause they're doing, they're rumored to have Nissa, right? For green. Or like, they're doing all their promotional shit with her, like the dolls and stuff. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it's just odd. Like,
we get a black green, Garrett.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Maybe.
I don't know. Or, you know what, I'm gonna go with the original guest set. It's just Wadsi pulling some promo stunt where it's just like a fight Garrick.
Oh, that would be the worst.
Yeah, I wanted to see
if it pulls away those stupid fucking seated boxes where you pick a color, I'd be okay with it. I hate those boxes that much.
Yeah.
I do. I agree with you there. I'm a sick bastard and would prefer to see Liliana the Veil here.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's too powerful.
Well, they gotta bring the price down.
Yeah, the price is really, the thing about that card.
Rye, you're never gonna see it reprinted, man, unless it's in a special set, because like Moro and Watsy has basically said that card was a mistake and it's too powerful. I'm sorry.
It sucks. That sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same as like the Jace argument. Like, oh, you know, I'd love to see Jace the Mind Sculptor reprinted. Well, yeah, but it's too powerful. Like, you can't do that. It warps standard.
Well,
and that's the last thing fucking
well, Liliana the Veil right now, standard is, she would be way too powerful in standard right now.
Oh my God.
That's beyond fair, but, unfair. Yeah, but I'm not a big fan of this Liliana, man. It's, 5 mana, target player discards a card. They may not even have a card at that point. Like,
it just doesn't do enough, you know?
No.
It's not gonna win you the game.
It can't, I mean, the thing is, that -2, there's those games where that one card, all you need to win it. You got them in a position where, okay, I search out my Elspeth, put it on top, win the game next, you know, win the game over the next few turns. Like,
yeah, I mean, the search is good, but like, you know, there's search out a card for 4 that you can get usually in this format.
Yeah, but the thing that's great about this though, I like at least, is that it puts it on top of your library instead of in your hand, so you don't get thought seized or...
Yeah, it's like a vampiric, it's not a demonic.
I do like that about the card actually, I think that was, you know, it's a good call for her to come back. I don't know when she was originally printed, but...
That is one of the original planeswalkers from... Fuck, what set was that?
Is it Lorwyn?
It might have been Lorwyn.
Or around that era?
Yeah, that era. It was Lorwyn, actually. I think you're right. So yeah, it's been printed that many times. Holy hell. So yeah, those were our spoilers. Cool. Next week we'll have more of them, and then the following week, you know, me and Ryan will put our feet in our mouth. It's everyone's favorite episodes. But, you know, we brought on Pat here for a reason. And he has some stuff he wants to talk about. And he made our art. So we're going to have a little art conversation about this man.
Ooh, art. Fun.
What is your art background?
Well, I've always been doing art since I was a kid. My dad's actually an artist. His professional career is a police officer, but he got a degree in graphic design and he was a painter growing up. So, like, I've always been around it and, both my older sisters can draw, so I've always been, you know, brought up in that kind of environment and exposed to a lot of art, so I really took an interest in it. And in high school, got into graphic design. I never really thought of art as a career, and I got into like some web design classes and graphic design stuff in high school and just really fell in love with it.
Cool.
And now I don't do it as a career, so that's great.
That's awesome.
Nah, man, it's cool. I'm in a better situation now.
Hey, man, you know what? I used to do a lot of pointillism.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that, but...
What is that? What the fuck is
that? That is when you make a bunch of very tiny dots form a picture.
Oh, okay.
It's very time consuming, and I really enjoyed it, but like, after a while, I just kind of quit doing it, and I remember about 3-4 years ago, I tried to do it again with my, you know, I busted out my chalk, and I tried doing it. Man, if you don't fucking do that all the time, you'd lose it. Yeah. I gave up on it. I mean, everything I used to love about art, I kind of just kind of quit with because, you know, I'm bad at it now and I don't want to put
it
in.
It can be tough, man. It takes a lot of practice.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Especially with drawing. You got to draw all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It has to be every day. You can't skip it. You can't, you know, bullshit it. You have to practice. And you know what? I'd rather practice on a guitar than on paper, sorry.
Yeah. So, in college, I took graphic design as a major, but the art department at the college I went to was more focused on studio art. So I really fell in love with screen printing and it was just all over that. And you can really see it in a lot of my work. It's, you know, very simplified, grungy type stuff.
Grungy. Go figure from a former skateboarder.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you saw that video, right?
Yeah, you can manual like a motherfucker.
Yeah, that's right, man. Yeah. I don't know, you guys got any questions?
I do. I have one major question.
Yeah.
What made you come up with that design for the logo?
Okay, well, I love to do, like, creature mashup type stuff. I work a lot in abstract shapes.
Okay.
To, like, compose it together to make, like, a new being or creature or something. You know, I'll spoil a little bit of the fun for you. You know, the bat wings on there are actually made from a picture of, like, sticks. It's like a bundle of sticks where I change the threshold on the image so that you just see a bunch of, like, black shapes, and then I cut out each shape and I compose them all into, you know, the form of the wing.
That's totally dope.
Yeah, so, like, you can't, you know, you think it's, like, hand-drawn or sketched or something, but it's actually made of a bunch of tiny little black shapes that are just layered over each other.
You know what? I just had an argument with somebody about that, because they were like, you know, I was talking to somebody about it at an F&M, and they were saying, man, I can't believe that thing is hand-drawn. It's awesome. I'm like, I don't know. It looks, the whole background looks digital, but the imp itself does look hand-drawn, so I don't know if it was just like the foreground was.
It's hand-drawn, but it's manipulated digitally to make it look like that.
There's a lot of, like, you could see, like, the muscle and the neck and...
Yeah, that's actually all hand-drawn stuff that they're taken from different pictures I found online, and I just composed them together and worked them to, you know, the right specifications of how I liked it visually. It was actually my placeholder image, because I wanted a picture of the head tilted back like that, and it was, like, perfectly set up, so I was using it, and I was like, man, this is perfect. Like, I can't improve on this. So I worked it a little more to be, you know, more unique of what I was looking for, and it just worked out.
Oh boy, did it. I made it my Twitter header. So when you go to, like, my actual page where, you know, it has my picture, my avatar, cause you know, it's just my head.
Yeah.
My avatar sits, like, perfectly on that thing's neck.
Yeah.
So, I was like, that's sick. I don't think I'm ever going to change that.
I put it up as the, background, the cover photo on the Pittance page.
Right? And we put it on shirts and all kinds of shit.
The cityscape in the back is from an actual photo of Pittsburgh. So those are all, like, the real buildings and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that right away.
Yeah. And it's done with the same treatment. Like, that's really the style I like to work in, is, like, the flat colored images.
Sweet, sweet. I know a bunch of people are going to be pumped to be wearing that. I know you do a lot of proxies.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a member of the Proxy Factory.
Sweet. I'm not a big proxy guy, as you know, but...
What's the Proxy Factory?
It's a site on Google Plus run by the Proxy Guy. They hold contests, you know, I think twice a month. You know, they have a theme, and, you know, everybody, you know, makes up their own art for a card and submits, and there's a lot of room for discussion and, you know, posting things that you're working on, and you can get a lot of feedback from everybody. It's a really cool community to be a part of.
Oh shit, yeah.
And I want to put it out to the posse. If anybody's interested in proxies or art, Photoshop, whatever, man, you know, hit me up, ask me questions, I'll talk to anybody. You know, I just explained everything behind the logo. Like, I'll tell you everything I fucking do in the program. Like, you know, I think that spreading knowledge is what's best for art and development of, you know, everything in these communities. So if anybody has any questions, you know, don't feel afraid to talk to me or anything. I'll let you know whatever, or I'll point you in the right direction if I know somebody who can help you more than me.
Okay, so what is Photoshop?
It's kind of a broad question.
already stumped them, right? Yeah. You see that?
No. Photoshop is part of the Adobe, you know, Creative Suite. It's image manipulation. It's kind of the standard for the industry.
Oh yeah, I know. It was a joke.
I know, you're just being a dick.
Like, well, it's right what I do. You know, my mother told me a long time ago, find something you're good at and stick with it.
Yeah.
So.
But a lot of people.
So he sticks with dick.
Always. I always stick with the dick.
Yeah. I know a lot of people for making proxies, they use a program called GIMP.
Yeah.
Which is an image manipulation program. I don't really have any experience with it.
A leather suit with a ball gag in.
Yeah, I know Pit Scorpion uses it. Adam
uses
proxies. Yeah.
Yeah, he was in the contest too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only made one proxy in my life, and I don't know, it didn't turn out that good.
I've made a few, and they're usually like on islands where I write the word of the card that I want, and I go, there we go.
Well, mine was, I made a legendary creature rules advisor, Todd Anderson. he put like rules lawyer tokens onto the battlefield or something, I don't know. So that was my one proxy. I gave up with that.
Throwback story for Angelo. When I was a kid, we used to write on islands for our proxies because we'd hard case all our cards that were worth $10 or more.
Right.
So we'd have decks with like, you know, for all our dual lands because they were worth like $8 to $10 at the time, we'd write on. I still, in my collection, I have like islands that say Vesuv and Doppelganger on them. Just funny shit like that. Birds of Paradise.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can remember, like, Balduvian Horde. I refused to write on it because it was worth so much.
Yeah.
And when that card is terrible.
When I got back into the game, I was going through all my cards, and I was like, I saw the birds, and I was like, oh, shit, that was, like, $25 back in the day. And I was like, look it up, it's like, $3.
Right.
I was like, oh, my God.
It just got overprinted so many times, but it doesn't make it any less effective of a card.
Yeah. It does when I'm trying to sell it.
A lot of money. Yeah, I was going to say, like, if it's, you know, alpha, beta.
Yeah, it was revised. I came in during revised. That's when I started.
Sweet, sweet. So, let's see here. So, you beat Adam. You beat Steve.
Yeah.
You got any words for those guys? Losers.
Yeah, they're fucking terrible. I don't even know why they bothered entering. No, I'm just kidding. I love those guys. I mean,
same.
Despite Adam being a Dolphins fan, I mean, I guess I can put up with him.
Oh, dude, Adam's a Dolphins fan?
Yeah, how fucking weird is that?
Yeah, just, you know, you gotta let that go, man. I mean,
you know, everybody knows the Jets are the only team out there.
He suffered enough, people. Why didn't you vote for his logo?
Yeah, really, I mean.
No, those guys did great work. I was really impressed with what they came up with. And Steve always does awesome, awesome work.
Yeah, Steve's hand-drawn stuff, I mean, it impresses the hell out of me.
Yeah, he's got his style down.
Yeah, and it is his style. You're absolutely right when you say his style. Like,
yeah.
I can tell a Stephen Raffle drawing when I see it.
Yeah, and it's not like I crushed those guys. Like, I barely squeaked by. It was close.
Between you and Steve, it was close.
Yeah.
Adam, man, oh my God, dude. I really liked his logo, and a lot of other people really liked his logo, but it just did not receive the votes.
Yeah.
I love his logo. I still want to do stickers with it, man.
Well, you can pay for it.
I really liked it. I think it was just, it was pulling in two different directions between the cityscape and the imp. You know, it was almost like they were two different styles.
Yeah.
So it was kind of fighting itself, but it was still really good.
Yeah, I think as a logo goes, like, yours is very difficult. You know, cause typically when people think of logos, they think of just quick, simple things. You know what I mean? That, you know, others can even duplicate.
That's like corporate stuff.
It is, but that's logos. I mean, like, you know, look at your Jets.
Boring, man.
So like, I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, I mean, your thing would look awesome on a playmat, but I'm like, how does it go over on other things?
If you think that it's detailed now, you should have seen it before I pulled it through Illustrator.
Oh my God. No thanks. Like Steve's, that's why I liked his though, because it was so simple.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, this is just simple and just perfect. And I mean, it's just weird. It's like, you know, each person, they brought me something that I could look at and go, I want this on this, I want this on that, and I want this on these things. Like, yours would look awesome on the playmat. And then, like, Steve's, I was like, this thing would look awesome on sleeves, stickers, things like that, but I wouldn't want that on a shirt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, like, Adam's, I'm like, I can see that on a shirt, I can see that on a sticker, but on a playmat, I don't know, it's too circular.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I got like pulled in all these different directions with everybody's thing, and I'm like, how do I vote for one of these?
It was tough. It's a lot of good entries.
Yeah, it really was. Thank you guys. I'm being dead serious about that for putting in that work. Like that shit. That impressed the hell out of me when I started getting entrants. Cause like at first they were all terrible. It was like Kelso's. Literally, it was like a butt crack, you know, drawn in a minute and a half.
He set the bar, man.
Yeah, he set it all right. He
set the bar fucking high, man. I like that. I like that one.
Your stuff, I almost didn't enter.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not buying either of it, guys.
I wanted to try and hook you guys up with something cool. I'm a fan of the cast. I know you weren't sure if I listened or not, but I try and catch you guys all the time.
I know that, you know, you're more SVU than Posse, and that's cool.
I'm everything, man. Well, I've got no labels. Well, your association with
the Proxy Factory kind of puts you, you know, in that group, whether you want it
or
not. But hey, you brought your game, man, and I'm fucking pumped about it. I mean, I'm looking really forward to the shirts, you know, going off with your art on it. And
yeah, man, I'm excited to wear my stuff. It's going to be cool to see it on a shirt.
Yeah, you're sitting there watching a GP, you know, and then all of a sudden your shirt sits, your art is staring back at you, you know. It's like, that'll be cool. And you know, so yeah, guys, please order these shirts on Teespring. That way my man here, Pat, can see his shit everywhere. Like, you know, he wants
that to. That way we can have dope ass t-shirts. Pat, man. I want to fucking rock this thing, dude.
So do I. So do I. Before we get more into that, is there anything about the art that you know, about just art in general or anything that you want to talk about, Pat?
Not really.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I think I got it all out there.
Okay. Sounds good. I do have a little bit of news. I promised to put this out for a fan or for a listener of ours and quite frankly, a good guy in the Magic community. Onar.
Yeah. Posse member extraordinaire, bro.
Yeah. Onar's kind of disappeared and there's a reason he's disappeared. For those who don't know about Onar, Onar is a bit crazy. And I say this in a loving way. He is the guy who, quite frankly, all of the things you're hearing about fakes from anybody, I don't care where you heard it from, he's the one who found it. Okay? He scours the internet and he finds it. The one company, Alibaba, I believe it is, or Ali something, who was making the fakes originally, he found 27 subsidiary companies underneath that one that was putting fakes out. And these people began to threaten him quite a bit. And Onar had to disappear because of this. He wanted, you know, the people to know in case he disappeared. He told me to let the folks know, you know, this is why he's gone. And use your due diligence when you do buy things. He left me a bunch of material on, you know, different people who are involved in it. And if you really want to know this stuff, you can get a hold of me and I can tell you, you know, the 15 names of the company heads and all that other stuff.
That would be good to fucking know.
Yeah, it's, dude.
I buy a lot of cards on eBay, man, and it's.
There's just so much information that he has that he's put out there that, you know, it's, I'll try and pull some of it up. It's kind of very in-depth. I can almost do a complete show on what he has out there as far as, you know, who's doing what and what these side companies are and where the fakes are coming from. And, you know, there's one in the United States who's doing a lot of it and, in the UK. And now some of these names that he's given is like Joe Smith, Brandon Elam, Brandon Mantle. They're kind of, in the bad side, there's also a scammer, josephsmith90@outlook.com. And then there's all kinds of, holy shit, he has added more today. Interesting. So I guess that even though he disappeared, he's not done. For those who don't quite understand, Onar has a very, very secret group that I am a part of that all this information pops up on. This is how I know when fakes are going out and everything and, oh my god, dude. Okay, there's too much for me to even begin to go over here. Tina Huang, counterfeiter with, anything that you see Star City Shop, that's a big one.
Oh yeah, that's,
do not buy. Delson Huang, Jake Lee, Jennifer Wang, Li Tao Wang, Carly Shu, and Jeffrey Spikes, they're all, you know, people who will put things up on TCG and it all comes from Star City Shop and they're fake. So,
yeah.
But I promised Onor I would mention this, that I would bring this up. And there it is. And if you have more in-depth questions, you can either get a hold of me, or if you're on the Pinips fan page, send a direct message to Onor, and he'll be more than happy to answer you about these, because he wants the community to know, like, what he's doing is actually good. Like I said, he's a bit crazy, because I can't see myself putting all the time that he puts into tracking these people down, but what he does is legit. Like, we need it, because Lord knows enough people have been ripped off by these pricks as is.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so now we have this t-shirt that I brought up earlier. You can get it at teespring.com/pitimp.
Emphasis on the S.
Yeah, I've got to put the S in there. And here's the deal. I've got a lot of questions about Teespring and how it works. And this is how it works. Basically, we set a goal of 50 shirts, which originally was 20, but what ended up happening was when I hit start the campaign, it switched itself back to 50. So we have to sell more shirts than what I originally thought. But here's the thing. Teespring, you reserve your shirt. You can take the money basically out of your bank account if you want. However, Teespring isn't going to touch your money until it goes live, which at the time of this recording is 14 days from now. Okay?
2 weeks.
You have 2 weeks, yeah. So, and you order your shirt from them. They will send it directly to you. And I get a very small amount of profit off of it. This is actually one of the ways I plan on paying for myself to go to Portland. So please, 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 please order shirts. You can get them in any size you want. I believe it goes up to triple XL. So, I mean, that should fit most people.
Yes.
And if you can't, I mean, I'm sorry.
it's not your issue.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good company. Anybody can join to go ahead and, you know, start their own logos or, you know, their own type of t-shirt thing. But, I mean, it's really good for, you know, small people like us. I know Heavy Meta has used them in the past. Our parent company, Brainstorm Brewery, has used them in the past. Where, you know, it's like, I don't want to go buy a shirt, go find a shirt guy, have these shirts made, have to deal with the mailing, have to deal with setting up, you know, a spot for you to send the money and all that crap. Like, these people take care of that for you. So it's very good for, you know, the small people like us. Please, again, you know, if you have any questions about how this is going to work for you, get a hold of me. I will let you know. Guys, get your damn shirts. Enough said. Okay, so let's see. Shirts, we've covered that. We covered Teespring. Hey, have you noticed the new Wizards website sucks?
I don't know, Ryan. What do you think?
Yeah, that fucking website's a joke, Watsy. Your piece is a shit with your web. You should just give up on the internet entirely. Stick to cardboard. Forget about the internet. Hire another fucking outside company, for Christ's sake, to do all your anything involving computers. Just give up.
Look.
Just fucking give up. You're fucking terrible. And I don't know, someone at Watsy needs punched in the fucking head for, like, not covering top 16 deck lists on the website. And, like, I don't fucking understand that.
My biggest issue with the website is it's so much harder to navigate. Like, yeah. It looks pretty. It looks really pretty. But it's a lot harder to navigate. To find what you actually want to find, it's harder to fucking do. It's kind of annoying. Mm-hmm. And then you have to set up so they can attach cookies to your fucking computer, which as soon as my fucking my virus thing comes in, it's going to remove them anyway. So how's that doing me any fucking good that you know, because I remove all cookies. I don't leave that shit on there. Fuck that. That shit will slow your computer down. They can eat a big fat dick. I don't know, like, why the fuck did they do this? Like, yes, it looks pretty, but it's not fucking functional. And you know what? It sounds a lot like the beta. Never mind.
It's just putting lipstick on a pig.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. It does remind me of the beta early on. It just does.
Yeah, it's just not intuitive at all. And like you said with the cookies thing, it's just a roadblock. You gotta click through big dumb window at the bottom. And like, you can't find the deck list at all. You have to cycle through them instead of being able to just scroll through.
And then when you find the thing that says top 8 deck list, you click on it and like two of them show and the rest of the cards are missing.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
Now that can be just an early on problem there.
This is an epic fucking fail, Wizards.
Yeah, it is. It is. Fix your bugs. And you got plenty of them. Site looks pretty. Now just fix the actual usefulness of it. And
people
maybe I'll be happy.
People want those simplicity, like, yeah, make it look nice, but this looks nice, but lost all the simplicity of the old format.
You know, it's really sad because they redid the Gatherer, and the Gatherer just looks pretty. Aside from that, it's the exact same fucking program. You know what I mean? Like, it has functionally changed zero.
You can, everything is where it was, you know, it's just a more modern look, like.
Yeah. I don't see why they just didn't follow their own model that they did with the Gatherer, you know, 2 weeks ago, where it's just like, okay, it's functionally the exact same, but it looks better. Okay, cool. It does look better. I'll give you that. You know, it's sleek, it's modern, it's not, you know, like, it kind of looked Dungeons-y and Dragon-y before, you know, with like the distressed corners and all that shit. And now it looks very properly put together, but Jesus Christ, the functionality of it is fucking terrible.
Weird.
We done complaining about Wizards.
Yeah. We'll never be done.
No. We'll be done for now.
For now.
Okay, because you're right. I mean, there will always be a reason to complain about Wizards. Fair which enough. I actually may end up doing here in a very short period of time. Ryan, what you been up to, bro?
Well, plans got shot for GP Chicago, which sucks. Megan's taking on a lot of, like, a new role at work and a lot more responsibility, and just the weekend was really bad. Yeah, so there was that. Just back to work on the grind. Had a pretty easy F&M on Friday, so I just took Red White Burn and got my matches over with quickly and smoked cigarettes. I went 4-0 or whatever and only dropped one game the entire night. It was just, I don't know, it was a pretty nice, pretty easy laid back F&M. I think I'll stick with Red White Burn for a little bit. I mean, I'm still working on some other decks and playing other decks around the house, but if I go to anything, I'll probably just be sleeving up Red White Burn.
Sweet. Anything else, bro?
I think this is so boring, I don't want to sit across from it for very long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll get this game over with, smoke sig. So.
You know what that means? Means you're finally growing up and you're about ready to start playing limited.
Oh, come to the dark side.
I'm liking limited more, but I don't know. I'm ready to go more and more into modern.
There you go. At least you're leaving standard.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not, there's just not really a deck like the, when, Reanimator was a thing in the old, previous standard, a couple seasons or whatever. That was a deck I would still be playing today if I could. I loved that deck. There hasn't been like a deck in this standard format. Like I loved Mono Black for a couple weeks and then it just, I don't know, there hasn't been like, it's not a deck like I love or whatever outside of like, you know, I like my Selesnya, but I just can't compete. So, I mean, I love that deck and I wish it was good.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's nothing I can like love and play competitively like I could the Reanimator deck. Waiting for that deck again.
Well, speaking of modern, how's that Death in Texas list that I never got to see?
Oh, dude, I never did send you that.
I'm calling you out right here.
Yeah, you are calling.
Putting you on the spot. Yeah.
I will get that to you.
I've
been doing a lot of testing with it and shit, and it's been changing. Like, it's literally been changing, like, fucking every few days to few days with just, like, a card here or there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure it out. I've cut swords entirely from it.
Really?
Yeah, just in favor of more creatures. So, I was trying to even mind censor in the board and then put it back in the main deck. Like, I don't know. A lot of the numbers, I was running Phyrexian Revoker in the sideboard. Then I took them out last week. I'm not running it at all now. It's been tough to figure out, man. And it's a shame that there's not, you know, really a modern, like, there's communities for like all these Tarmogoyf face decks and the Splinter Twin and whatever they had, and Pod has all these like forums you could go and discuss, and there's like nothing out there for modern Death and Taxes. If anything, it relates to like most stuff links you to like Soul Sisters bullshit. Or like, there's like one primer on MTG Salvation that kind of talks about like the archetype and some of the cards in the modern card pool that you may or may not see. And but there's like, that's the thing. Like, so that's one of the things I love and hate about modern, at least as far as this deck goes, is because, it's all basically like my own kind of like creation.
Serious question here.
Yeah.
Are you splashing green fatigue in the sideboard?
I'm not, man. Straight up mono white.
I don't know. I think I might consider that.
I think a lot of the lists run green.
I mean, yeah, a lot of people.
For mayor.
Eh, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't even worry about mayor, but Teague is.
Yadik Teague is sick, yeah. I just, a lot of people have talked to me about, you know, maybe going the, green-white hate bears route, which I like that list. Like, I think it's very similar. One of Brian Kibler's favorite cards in the fucking format is Casale Pride Mage, and I think he's, you know, I think he's, it's a really good card. I don't think he's crazy for, you know, loving that card. I mean, it's really good. I've thought of that, but the only green in my deck is the hybrid mana and Kitchen Finks, so.
Okay. Well, you been up to anything else?
I'm up to four. I go all out on the kitchen. So, yeah.
I get that, but I'm saying, have you been doing anything else?
Oh, man. Not shit. Fucking new season of American Ninja Warriors been keeping me entertained, man. I had never seen that shit before. It's funny as hell.
Real? You got to see original shit, man. It's so much better than the American.
Oh, I'm sure.
Mount Moriyama. I mean, those people, like, there's people who come out, like, cause it's weird. Like, they have the people who show up to lose and they'll, like, wear a duck suit and try to do it. And then they have the people who actually try to get through it. And I don't know, like, the combination of the two is a lot more entertaining than the American one that I've found, which is more about just the competition.
Yeah.
Fair? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. For sure. Like, the originals of anything is usually better than...
Yeah, you know. Well, Japanese TV, they like to humiliate and embarrass people, so...
Yeah, that is a weird thing about Japanese TV, isn't it?
Dude, I love it because they do it to their celebrities.
Oh, it's like The Simpsons has poked fun of that theme in Japanese television plenty of times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was the episode where they're in Japan and they end up on the show and they're making all the fucked up shit. So, yeah, but I agree with you though. I'll have to check that out. I'll have to YouTube something from that.
Absolutely will. Pat, you been up to anything that you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I got a new job and I'm psyched.
That's gangsta.
Oh man.
What are you doing if you don't mind me asking?
I am an operator on the cash line at an aluminum recycling plant.
Sweet. Fucking recycling. Recycle.
It's for our British friends, that is aluminum.
Yeah. It's a sweet gig and it's all like up and coming. So.
There you go.
Sweet.
And, what were you saying?
Congrats, man.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm real happy. And I just been working on the house, you know, the eternal project, rebuilding it. You know, like Angelo said to Celso a while back, you know, I can build a house from the ground up. So it keeps me busy.
There you go.
Yeah, that's cool. Dude, those are good skills to have.
I was going to say, call me if you need, you know, windows or something, but it sounds like you are a do-it-yourselfer.
Yeah, dude. We, our house, we jacked up the roof on half of it and knocked down everything underneath. And that side of the house had the bedroom, the bathroom, and the kitchen.
Okay.
And even
better. Usually don't want to get rid of all three of them at once.
Yeah. We're on a concrete slab. So, with no crawl space. So I had to dig an entire new route for all the plumbing. And I tried to save as much as I could and ended up just redoing the whole thing.
Man.
Yeah. So that was fun.
That's kind of shitty being on a slab. Huh. I'm kind of shocked that you are just on a slab up where you're at.
Yeah. Well, I'm out in the country. It's not really country, like it's the outskirts of the city, but it's a lot of land.
Right, no, I get what you're saying, it's just, you know, because of the winters and everything. Normally you like to have that crawl space, that dead air space underneath your house to help keep it a little warmer.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's cold as fuck.
I would think so. Anything else that you want to share?
No, it's good.
That's cool.
Well, I do have a story.
Okay, go for it.
Working related. I just want to say, I still remember the first time I ever heard this podcast. I was painting a roof, or not painting a roof, I was on the roof, but I was hanging over the edge to paint the peak, and I was listening to you talk about, it was one of the, GPs in Pennsylvania. But I still remember it because I was on my lunch break and I had to go to my sister's house and paint the peak of the roof. And rather than use a ladder, I thought it would be sweet to just hang over the edge and do it.
Oops.
It's just a memory in my brain now.
Okay. I thought you, that like you was going to say something like, you know, you dropped your,
Your sub there.
No, man, I'm not gonna fucking.
I thought you were gonna go, hey, yeah, you guys made me laugh so hard I dropped my paintbrush and had to like go get a ladder. No.
Well, I was doing so much work, I was listening to all these podcasts, and I decided to give you guys a shot and see what you're all about, and I was just hooked, cause you know, you guys are spikes, and you take everything seriously, and you know, it's a lot of information to be had, so I was really, happy to find you guys.
Yeah, hey. Dude, we're just glad you stuck with it.
Yeah, I'm happy you're still here.
Yeah, it's group hug.
Group hug. Yes. So I went to an FNM this week.
No, man, you got a lot of information to share.
What? Pat?
Oh, what happened there? You cut out.
Oh, I cut out?
Yeah, I said what?
Oh, no. I was just saying you guys got a lot of good information to share.
Okay.
Oh. And as much as I hate Standard, you cover it pretty well, so.
That's good.
Really staying on top of things.
Look, I'll be real honest. I listened to this show the other day. It was like the first time I listened to my own show in a long time. The only reason I did is because we have like an RSS feed now. And it's on my phone. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll listen to this because that's all I got left. And I like listened to it, got done. Why the fuck does anybody listen to us? But, you know, I've been in a weird mood the last few weeks, so that could also be a part of it. Like, I just wasn't taking things as serious as I probably should have.
Everybody's going to rag on themselves, man. But you guys know your shit, and you're putting it out there for people, so that's good.
Thank you. But yeah, I did an FNM, and I don't do those.
Yeah, we both did the old FNM, yeah.
Dude, I played paper.
Yeah, I know. I was very surprised by that, dude. And your deck looked fucking, I don't know how you lost a match, man.
Well, let's see. I went 2-1-1, finished fifth. The game that I drew was against, one of the Beckmans.
Okay.
And what ended up happening was, like, we played game one, it went long. I'm like, okay, and he wins, it was just one of those games. His deck was also very good. Game two, I win. You know, this game went long. And we go, how much time's left? And they're like, 6 minutes. Because it switched from 7 minutes to six. And we hadn't even begun to shuffle and sideboard and anything. I just look at him and go, there's no way we're going to finish this. You just want to draw? And he's like, yeah. Sam, we were both 2-0. So it was like, hey, I guess it doesn't matter, you know. So we drew, and it's like, we just got to win the next round. So I sit down the next round, and, like, the one deck I didn't want to run into was the really, really fast deck. Because, basically, I was a very slow control deck. And if you could get off quick enough on me, there was nothing I could do to stop you. And, yeah, that's what happened.
Actually, I don't know. I thought you had some tools to kind of fight that with your flash flyers and stuff. And
I had a flyer that flashed. I had some heroic flyers.
Oh, I thought you had the Cloaked Siren in your deck for some reason.
No, I had hundred-handed one. I was like, I used a bunch of 1/3s with, you know, like, okay, they had some heroic triggers on them, but I didn't have a lot of heroic enablers. So I was using those Warwing Sirens. I had 3 of those. I was using a bunch of like 1/3s and things like that early on to get me to my bombs. And that was like hundred-handed one, which was absurd. And it always is, fuck. I don't even remember the whole deck list. I had a bunch of really good blue bombs. I do remember that. I just don't remember what they are, and I'm sorry if I don't remember because, you know, that shit happens. But yeah, my deck was good. It really was. I had 2 divinations. I had a bunch of just, you know, cantrip draw cards. I did get a, pack 3. I cracked a, Daxos, and I was already firmly in blue white. And, like, that was kind of nice.
It's always a good feeling.
Yeah, it is. It was funny because, like, I opened the first pack, and I had the black card for 6 mana, destroy all enchantments and enchantment creatures, and there was a Banishing Light, and I looked at the guy next to me, and I go, so, do I take this seriously tonight, or do I have fun? And
you go serious all the time. The guy looked at me
and was like, man, you play to win, right? And I was like, okay, Banishing Light. And that kind of...
Great choice.
Yeah, I did have the, I splashed green just for the, cockatrice.
Yeah, that's worth it.
Yeah, I felt that was right. Yeah.
Not a bad splash.
No, I felt that was right. I really did feel that was right.
And you had nothing black removal wise or?
No.
Splash for, no?
No, nothing in black really worth splashing for. I pretty much stayed on color and, you know, sent the signals out to the people next to me, hey, stay the fuck out of these colors. As best I could, you know, and they picked up on it because, you know, eventually you begin to see things like, okay, here's point in case alone. I watched a Voyages End wheel. That's how bad I shut down blue.
Well, I don't know. I haven't been seeing them that much.
Yeah, well, I got handed the pack, and it had Voyage's End in it, 100-handed one, and I want to say, like, a Divination.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to take the 100-handed one.
Yeah, well, that's the right call anyways.
I think so. And then the Voyage's End wielded. Or it wheeled, and I was like, okay, I got
yeah,
it back.
That's pretty crazy then.
I shut Blue completely down. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I felt really good about that. Like, I shut this shit down. I got the card back that I wanted. There was a Nimbus Naiad in there too, so the one other Blue player at the table took the Nimbus Naiad over the Voyage's End, and that's why I was able to get it back.
And I played, it was only my second ever FNM a couple months ago for the, it was like the week of the release for, Born of the Gods, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or Journey in it. I think it was Journey, yeah. And there was a last pick, what's it called? The Chimera, the 3/4 that returned an enchantment to your hand.
Dude, Riptide Chimera, that thing's fucking insane.
Last pick. Can you believe that shit?
No.
Man, I'm looking
I can, because...
I'm sorry, I'm looking at Riptide Chimera as something as a potential constellation enabler for Standard, man.
Yeah, like that card is insane and limited, and for some reason these kids didn't want it. Doesn't make any sense.
You know, I've noticed when I draft in real life with people, FNM is not an 8/4. Like,
no,
you learn that real fast. And I've seen a lot of things go a lot later than they should when I draft, you know, in real life. Like, I mean, look, I know it's not the greatest card, but like Lightning Diadem in that recent draft, like that was gifted to me. And it's better than that. It's a lot better than that. I mean, is it a first pick? No. But I mean, that's, you know, sixth pick out of a pack. That's the one you're going to take usually, you know, sixth or seventh. It's not usually going to go to 14th. And I saw, you know, the other cards in the pack earlier on, and I was like, that shouldn't be, like, this card should have been gone at some point.
Well, dude, you're not sitting next to Ben Stark.
I know. I know that, but, you know, like I said, even at an 8/4, I know I wouldn't be gifted that.
Yeah. I mean, I've played mainly on MTGO. I don't get to play paper very much. So to see the level of talent drop off like that was a big, like, culture shock.
Yeah, but, you know, you usually get to walk away at packs.
Yeah, that's true.
I've also done a fair bit of Vintage Masters still. No power, folks. None.
Yep, I haven't found any either. I've done, like, 16 drafts.
Yeah, I got, like, 6 sealed, and, like, now I'm up to 9 drafts. None.
Yeah, I basically just open the pack now, see if there's power, and then force Suicide Black, Splashing White.
Oh, dude, I won one the other day with... which, I mean, it was red, green goblins.
Yeah, I think I remember you.
Like, I just thought it was hilarious. That was the only reason I tweeted about it, because I'm like, okay, this shouldn't win, but basically it was like every goblin you could want. Like, I had Lackey, I had a goon, I had two of the matrons, I had, a war chief, and the one that's like a goblin king, but, you know, it's only when you attack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I had the goblins you would want for that deck. Like, you know, no bones about it, but I was, like, using green instead of black for, those enchantments that are so good. Like, what is it? Gaia's something or other.
Embrace.
Embrace. +3/+3 and trample.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that thing on a goon's pretty strong.
Man, I stomped a goblin deck in the finals the other day. I had, like, 4 paralyzes, 3 of the, fucking the black removal, 2 afterlives, like 2 exiles. Like, he was just playing out little goblins, and I was just tapping them down and attacking with my, djinn and carnifages, and it was great.
Sweet. Yeah, in the finals, like, I looked at my opening hand. The dude actually conceded before we even played, which I thought was weird. He was like, sorry, dude, I actually have something I have to go do, so you win. And I'm like, all right, why didn't you ask for a split? You know what I mean? What's the worst that's going to happen? I'm going to say no, then you're going to concede. But, like, I looked at my opening hand, and I don't think the dude stood much of a chance. I had a turn one lackey into a matron, and the matron was going to get me a goon.
That's over from there.
Pretty much.
Unless they got removal.
It's like, unless you kill stuff, like, fast, you're dead. And I was actually, I won the dice roll. So it's just like, I don't see how he wins this game. You know, he might be able to win game 2 and 3, but this game I got. So, you know, who knows? But I did think it was funny, because, like, I didn't even get really a game from anybody. I just housed everyone with this deck, and I'm like, what the hell? And I did have that, the one, I was running 2 green creatures. Yavimai Elder, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
The 2/1 that you can sack and get a land.
Yeah.
And draw a card, yeah. And I had that green card that if it's enchanted, you can put a sapperling in. And because I was running the goons, enchanting that thing would turn my goon on after a few turns. So it was like, okay, this is,
you
this
wait,
is worth
trying to turn your goon on, huh?
Yes. Do you know what Goblin Goon does, Ryan?
I'm just teasing you.
Yeah, I was just wondering, because it's a 6/6 for 4 that it cannot attack or block unless you have more creatures than your opponent.
Seems easy to achieve in a goblin deck.
Yeah, it is. The only problem is, you know, it's a lot of 1/1s, so like they can whiteboard pretty easily. But with this thing, I was able to, you know, always keep the goon turned on. And that was nice. Let's see, what else have I been doing? Working, yeah, I've been doing that. And, oh yeah, I've been trying to update my computer. This has been a painful process.
Yeah, no shit.
I don't want to go through this again. Thank you, MTGO, for freezing my computer and fucking it all up, so I had to do this. Again, Wizards, go fuck yourself. Ryan, you got any shout-outs, bruh?
Shout-out and anti-shout-out to the posse. A lot of new members on there showing the love, so thanks, guys, for joining up. Shout-out everyone who's throwing there. Get on the page. Try to find the comment or just make a new comment of your own. If you have your Athreos brew, get it out there. I'm going to do something for the winner, you know, maybe a T-shirt, a card, something like that. So get that in.
Buy one more T-shirt.
Yeah, there we go.
Keep buying them, man.
yeah, get your ideas out there. I will say that I played like a junk aggro type list with Athreos, and it seemed pretty awful. Like, I beat it pretty easy on a mold of 5 even.
Fair enough.
Just didn't seem like it was there yet. But I do think there's something with the card in black-white, like... I don't know, let's figure it out. So shout out to everyone there. An anti-shout out to the posse for no one joining up on playdiplomacy.com. Start an account. Let's fucking play some war games.
I will not be doing that. I play Civilization.
Civilization's cool, but this, like, you could play over, like, several weeks, and, like, each turn is either, like, 12 hours or a day, or even 2 days apart, so you just have to check in, like, you know, talk to who you need to talk to, or whatever, like, via the messaging system, and it's a lot of fun. I created a game just for the Pit Imps, that no one else can join. I got a password for it, so if you're interested, or whatever, if you just, or bored, wants them to do on the internet or whatever, that's not porn, hit me up.
Okay. I will not be doing that.
Yeah. It's cool. It's a fun game. I'm getting back into it. It's like a military strategy game. I don't know.
I gotta ship you, Civilization, dude.
I got Civ. I just need to get it hooked back up online and shit.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. That game's just so good. God damn it. I love it.
You have to sit there and play the whole thing at once. Like, unless, you know, you're one person and you can, of course, save it and stuff. But no, 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 man. It's a great game, dude. Civ is one of the best games ever made.
Agreed.
Two of those. So, yeah.
I absolutely agree with that. Completely 100%. Haha.
That's rare.
Yeah. Me agreeing with you? Yeah, you're right. It's absolutely rare as hell.
Oh, Big Brother's not supposed to agree, man.
No. So, Pat, you got any shout-outs, bruh?
Yeah, I got a shout out my two best friends, at Winkelstein on Twitter.
Winkelstein.
Yeah, it's his last name, man.
Okay.
And, at _ Mr. Giggle Cream.
Hey, I know him.
Yeah.
That one sounds familiar. I'm pretty sure I follow, Mr. Giggle Cream. He was on another podcast himself recently, wasn't he?
He jumped in on the heavy meta, like, group episode that they did.
The SVU cast, or?
Yeah.
Okay. Was he on Heavy Meta or that's
oh, yeah, it was the Heavy Meta one when Maddie was out.
Okay.
Yeah. We're all childhood friends. We grew up together.
Nice.
Yeah, I think we came on after you guys.
Yeah. Then I wanna shout out Steve and Adam. You guys are awesome. Your art's awesome. Keep it up.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You know, really happy to be considered among you guys. So it's a privilege. And I wanna give a shout out to you guys for bringing me on.
You earned it.
I appreciate it, even though I'm gonna sound like a fucking idiot like I always do. I feel like I'm just coming across as so uneducated.
That's okay. I come across as uneducated all the time.
It's nerves, you know. But when you guys talk about standard and I haven't, like, read anything about it in forever, and I'm like, yeah, this card does that.
Well, you haven't missed anything, but if you read WotC's terrible coverage of this event, it makes it sound like you did, because it's like,
yeah.
Black is back. Wizards, Black never fucking went anywhere. What the fuck are you talking about? Back is Black and as good as ever. No. Black has fucking been here. You've got to, you know, just admit that. Like, the way they word things, it's just so fucking funny. Like,
yeah,
it's a trip. I want to give a shout out to Patrick here for giving us an amazing piece of art.
Yeah.
And for coming on to the show and dealing with us rambling for 2 hours.
Thanks.
I need to give a shout out to Larry Slade, because I accidentally hooked him on Hardcore History, the podcast. Which
that's
everybody,
not a bad thing to be hooked on, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he like yelled at
crack,
me.
Crack. There's meth. There's a lot you can apologize for hooking somebody on, but
dude, everybody should be hooked on this shit. That fucking thing, that show is good. If you want to kill 4 hours of your life, let me tell you, Hardcore History will fucking make that happen.
Here's the best thing about Hardcore History, and man, this is something you don't really get in history courses, especially, you know, pre-collegiate level, pre-university level, is we get a very westernized, Anglo-Saxonized
viewpoint
world history. I mean, that's just the way it is. Like, we've written over people's contribution.
Usually the person who wins is the person who writes it.
I could go on and on, but the thing about the great thing about Hardcore History is that he, I don't want to say necessarily challenges the norm or a perception, but really questions it and gets, like, you know, varying perspectives out there, and it's not just like the, you know, Anglo version of world history that you're so used to and indoctrinated with here in the U.S. Like, yeah, it's really refreshing. It's a great, great podcast. I think it's one of the best podcasts out there. I mean, there's several good ones. That's a really good one.
Yeah. I mean, he only puts out an episode like every 4 months, and it's like Christmas when it comes out.
Where can you
the amount this? Of research?
Just go under your iTunes search or whatever.
It's on Stitcher Radio. Yeah. It's all over the place.
I'm gonna have
whichever podcast thing you're looking at. Check out Hardcore History.
It's one of the most popular podcasts in existence. So you're gonna find it everywhere. Like, it really is one of the most downloaded casts. It's really up there. It's up there with things that are on like Smodcast and some of the other networks. Like, so there's lots of places you can get it.
Yeah, he's very entertaining. I mean, the way he explains it, it's not like your ninth grade history teacher yelling history at your face. Like, he really, I mean, he makes it entertaining at the same time that he is basically going over a history lesson. And it's very in-depth, very good. Definitely go check that out. I also need to give a shout out to Braden Defoe.
Yeah, Braden.
My man is all over the page. Like, I mean, he responds to everything. He's just embraced the posse, lifestyle on Facebook.
He did put his foot in his mouth the other day. I want to give him shit about that. The Sliverland.
Yeah. First 40. I think that was, a little facetious when he said first $40.
Well, he didn't read the card right and thought that you could just tap mana and make a sliver token. He didn't know you already had to have a sliver in existence, which makes that card go from, you know, playable to that's a pile of hot garbage.
Oh, okay. I thought he was being facetious about it and I was just joking. Like, I chuckled. I was like,
No, read the thread, because it takes them towards the end of the thread to be like, holy shit, I need to take a shovel and pry my foot from my mouth because I didn't read the fucking card.
Shout out to Buttercup, because I've missed him the last few weeks. I have not been giving him shout outs, and I feel bad about that.
Love you, Buttercup.
Yeah, we boy. Yeah. Shout out to Chewy. His thingamahicker. What the fuck is that thing? It's a Kickstarter. Yeah, it's the word.
Kickstarter.
His Kickstarter is now posted on the Pit Hips Facebook page. So if you want to donate to him after you buy a shirt, you can go ahead and donate to him.
Make sure you buy a shirt first.
Yeah, that comes first. Our shirts are better looking.
Yeah, crisp white. I'm fucking pumped, dude.
You know, hell yeah. No podcast has done white yet. Think about that. we're going to have the nice cool shirts in the summer, you know, that are actually cool and like reflect heat instead of sucking it in.
Sick logo that doesn't even, you don't even have to know what the show is or like MTG to like that, to see that shirt and be like, that's a badass shirt, man.
You know, that's what I'm saying. So yeah, there's that, also, if you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me on Gonksuo on Twitter. That's GANKSUOU. Same thing on MTGO. If I'm on there, and as long as I'm not in the middle of a, like, a tense draft, I won't ignore you. I will actually talk to you. You can also get a hold of me at, pitimppodcast@gmail.com if you need something a little more long form. And of course, you know, as Ryan is going to say in a moment about the Facebook page. Also, I need to tell you that we now have our own RSS feed. I will, I've already put it up on the Facebook page. I will try to put it into the show notes this week.
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah, it is. Just all of our episodes. None of those other ones that you have to fight through. It's wonderful. Pat, how would people get a hold of you, bro?
You find me on Twitter at 1-866. It's all spelled out. No numbers. Yeah. I know you guys like to say 1-886.
Yeah. I could wrong. Not remember.
It's fine, man. I laugh my ass off every time you bring it up.
If you find the gorilla, you found the right guy.
That's right. And you can find me on MTGO at 1-866, but it's just the numbers this time. So the numbers 1-866 is my MTGO handle.
That makes things a little easier.
Yeah. So Ryan, when you get on there, you know, you can track me down.
Yeah, dude, you got lost in the shuffle with my messages and shit, man. And like I said, I've been tweaking that list, so I'll get you the version I've been playing this last week.
You should just put it together and get
on
the online.
Did I just go over his head with that one?
I think you did. Yeah. What you should do, Ryan, is slow down on the beer and, go on Magic Online. Download that, and then all of a sudden, you can just play him with it. And
yeah.
Then everything would be good, and we know you have a Mac, and here's the thing. Patrick is playing Magic Online with a Mac, and he can explain what to do.
Well, I know, parallels, and there's some other things, but...
Yeah, parallels is the key.
Ryan, how would people get a hold of you, bro?
Oh, the Facebook page, of course.
Yes, sir.
And on fucking Twitter, man, Bro the Yan, Brother Ryan, get at me, hit me up, and that's what's up.
Okay, so next week we have an SCG in Portland, and we have two GPs in Washington, D.C. and in Milan, and those are going to be both sealed. So, you know, now that this is winding down, they're going to go ahead and finish it up with some limited before M15 comes rolling out. So, you know, we'll get to touch on it one last time before we never talk about Theros sealed again. Sad. But hey, guys, until next week.
Hey, fuck yeah, Scandinavia.
Fuck yeah.
Have a good one, and go fuck yourself.